The Lord helping, I'd like to bring our attention this morning to the wonderful words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 11, especially the section verse 25 to 30, but most of all verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the Lord has come and reassured the disciples of John the Baptist that he is the coming one, so that John can be told, yes, this is the Messiah who you proclaimed him to be. And now he is making his prayer to his Father, and he's making mighty claims. All things are delivered to me of my Father. No man knows the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father but the Son, and he to whosoever the Son will reveal him. He says, come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Mighty claims to be made. The one who says, come unto me. Let's look at who's saying this as we come to it. Who's the person making the invitation, giving these promises? At that time, Jesus answered and said, Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is who it is. At that time, Jesus answered, fully God, fully man, the Word, who's the beginning, and was in the beginning with God, and was God. God holy, God righteous, God just, God all-powerful, the great creator, all-seeing, Lord of all creation, Lord of all. Yet here he is, man. What's he doing here? Speaking as a man, but promising in the power of God in a town in Galilee around 32 AD. The creator of humanity, there is a human among humans, a man among men. Because humanity has a huge problem. Humanity have given themselves a load, a burden that they can't carry. They've separated themselves from God, the God who made them, by rebelling against him. And there's no way they can rectify this. They're carrying a load of sin before God, a load they can't carry, but they have to carry it because man must answer for the sin of man. No one else can answer for the sin of man but man. And not one ordinary person born in sin can do that. This sin is an infinite offense against an infinite and infinitely holy God, and God's a God of justice. But God's also a God of mercy and a God of grace. And so he provides a man who alone has the capacity to atone for the rebellion of his fellow men and women and children, a man unlike any other men, in that he was born without sin and he lived without sin, because though he was a real man, born of a woman, he was also God. And the Bible tells us what the angel said to Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. So this man standing in Galilee, backwards area, backwards province in the Roman Empire, subjugated race, occupied land, a man who'd grown up as a carpenter in a village. This man has the absolute right to speak these mighty words and the absolute right to expect people to heed them. This Jesus, he went about healing, preaching of God, doing nothing but good. This Jesus who would give himself to be cruelly executed on trumped up charges so he could be a perfect sacrifice for sin. This is who's speaking. Jesus, the one who can say that the yoke he sets on us is easy and the burden he sets on us is light, however heavy our burden might seem, because all the massive load of sin, which would have crushed us forever, all the weight of God's wrath we couldn't bear, he would bear upon the cross at Calvary. So our yoke is easy and our burden is light because of him, if we believe. Now he may have fallen while he was carrying the cross to Calvary under its weight, but the weight he'd carry when he was on the cross was infinitely, unfathomably greater. Isaiah said, surely he's borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. So many look on him and see just a man. Many did then, many do now. And many who should have understood this thing didn't understand it. Many still don't understand it. But the grief, the sorrow of all the sins of his people, this man carried. He's Lord, he's seated on the throne. Even here on earth, as a man, he was Lord, and the throne rightfully his, and he has the right to say, come unto me. And this Jesus is now in heaven, and he's interceding. That means he's praying for us. He's speaking on our behalf before the Father, pleading our case, and he's carrying the marks of the nails and the marks of the spear. And here in his word, recorded for us by men, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he was saying, come unto me, and he's still saying, come unto me. And Jesus spoke and said, all power's given to me in heaven and in earth. So he has the power to fulfill the things he says he'll do, to give rest to the heavy laden, those under a great load. And there's rest for the convicted sinner. In the Psalms, the psalmist said, my iniquities have gone over my head as a heavy burden, they're too heavy for me. Do you know what a blessing from the Lord conviction is? The Holy Spirit came to convict sin and righteousness and judgment. Being put under conviction, that's a gracious kindness of God. Now, you may think you're good, and that God should be pleased with you as you are. If you don't understand you're a sinner, you won't understand you need salvation. I can tell you now, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. So everyone's tied to this weight of sin that'll drag them down under God's judgment if they ignore it. And if you realize you've got a problem of sin, if you labor under it, if it weighs you down and you're drawn to hear what God has to say about it, there's hope, there's a glimmer of hope. And if you don't ever know how a sinner you are, there's cause for worry. I look back to a young man, and this young man, he took himself to chapel every Sunday, and he had this idea that God was there, and that it was a good thing to worship God, but all this doctrine and the rest of it, some of the miracles, he looked at it and he thought, well, you know, this is wonderful old literature, and I love this Bible because it's great old literature. And then it carries many sort of truths going through it, but we can't believe all of that. But yes, I think there's God there, so I'll show myself to him and I'll be good. I will keep the golden rule. I will do unto others as I would be done by. And I will come and say the Lord's Prayer on a Sunday, and I will come and be good. And he was coming just like the Pharisee came, who came before God and said, I thank you, I'm not like other men. One day he was reading, instead of reading listening to the sermon, he was reading the Bible. Not a bad thing to do, actually, to read the Bible if you're not going to listen, because it's God's word. And reading through the story of Elijah, and fire kept coming down from heaven. Fire came down on the altar. Fire came down on people who opposed Elijah's ministry. And this young man had heard this many times before and read it. But suddenly, in his heart, he knew it was true. And he suddenly realized, he was convicted. He realized that God had the right to judge. That God had the right to condemn. That God was all powerful. That God was his creator. That he was answerable to God. And he had no rest. Though he thought he'd never mugged anyone. He'd never gone out stealing. And he'd been a good man. This young man had no rest at all in his heart until he cast himself on Christ and pleaded, and until he realized through the grace of God that the promises made in this wonderful book, God always keeps his promises. And if he says, come unto me and I will give you rest, he does. I know this because the young man was me. And I know that as I grow older, the wonder grows greater and greater in me that God was so kind as to convict me. Because I'd insulted him with my pride for years. Plucked as a brand from the burning. Now salvation's a mighty sovereign act of God. It can't be dispensed by preachers, but they can proclaim the gospel and they can point to Christ, the one saviour of sinners. And here's the Lord Jesus. And what's he saying? He's saying, come to me. Whom does he say it to? All who labour and are heavy laden. All who are under the effects of sin, who he's calling, who the Father's drawing, who the Holy Spirit's convicting. And what's the promise? I will give you rest. Meet God upon this foundation of Christ's blood and righteousness, and on the foundation of his own promises. Don't bring anything. Just believe and come. You can't come as a saint, but that's fine. Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. There's no rest outside of Christ, but in him there's peace with God. The world's full, people running to and fro and restlessly trying to find happiness and hopelessly trying to find peace. And ultimately they fail. Of course they do. But there's the promise of Christ. I will give you rest. And he doesn't say, I might give you rest. I might give you rest. Or I can't give you rest. He does give you rest. Because he never fails in his promises. Those who he's drawing to him and who hear in their hearts the call of the Holy Spirit, come unto me and I will give you rest. God will keep his word because he's always kept his word. You shall find rest unto your souls. Does the Lord say come? He does. It's written here. I believe it. And everyone here who believes can tell you that the words in Hebrews are true. For we which have believed do enter into rest. But it's rest too for the burdened believer. I have a question, dear believers and brothers and sisters in Christ. Have you ever taken the burden and the trouble that you have and you're carrying, it's most wearisome to you in the world, and you've prayed about it and you cast it at the foot of the cross? And then you pray thanks to the Lord, who's so gracious as to tell you to cast this care at the foot of the cross because he cares for you. And then you finish your prayer and then you pick that burden right back up and you carry it away with you and you hold on to it because it's your burden. And some of us who believe are so prone to do that sometimes. But if you believe that this word of God is true, in the midst of everything, you and I, we should seek God's rest and peace from God, peace the world cannot understand. Now, I've got to say this in the midst of talking about God giving his people rest. I'm not preaching prosperity gospel here. That has no place in any true Christian church anywhere. So while Paul was being whipped and shipwrecked, and while Peter and John were in prison, and while martyrs like John Brown, who was burned at the stake here in Ashford 500 years ago, a few hundred years from here, a few hundred yards down the road nearer the offices at the bottom of Hythe Road, While they were going through this, they weren't experiencing what the prosperity preachers call their best life now. But they did show every sign of having peace. Souls at rest in Christ. How could they be at peace? The world's all wrong around them. Their situation is unjust. All is against them. But their peace didn't rely on some philosophy or on their own bravery. Their peace was founded in God. They didn't look at circumstance. They looked at Christ, who will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. I've seen various people suffering these last months, and to face suffering without Christ, however brave, is a hopeless thing, a sad thing. But I've seen that God's people stand in so much better a place, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. Peter Pitts, he takes these two things and neatly he wraps them up. God's people have heaviness and tears, but they always have the rest of knowing that joy comes. Joy of knowing they're loved by God. There's a song, when I was young, God hasn't promised skies always blue, flower-strewn pathways all your life through. He hasn't promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God has promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trial, help from above, unfailing sympathy, undying love. Rest for the believer. We can sometimes feel like the psalmist Asaph did when he said, as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped, because sometimes we get discouraged as we see the sins and the awful things happening in the world around us. And we see people suffering and it really moves us and we struggle. But then Asaph was brought back to that point where peace overtook the storm. My flesh and my heart failed, but God's the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And we know that God cares. He cares about the wickedness happening in the world more than you do, or any of his people do. He cares about his people in the midst of all this sin. And he has an undying and an invincible love for his people. He sees it all. He knows it all. So we mustn't let these troubles that are in the world that surround us, we mustn't let them sink us. Now we can pray. We can exhort. We can act to improve things whenever the Lord opens a way, but don't sink under the weight of the world's ill, dear believers. Cast your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. He'll never suffer the righteous to be moved. Now, I have a dear relation. He's just come into 40. And for some years, he's been unable to move at all because of illness. He can only whisper an occasional sentence. Sometimes he struggles to do that. He has to lay in a darkened room with his eyes covered. And his illness gives him oversensitivity to light. So he can't look upon the light. Now, his dear wife looks after him. Hand and foot, she does everything for him. Has done for a long, long time. They've not lost their faith. Their rest remains resolute in God. Praise the Lord. Now this young woman, his wife, we've tried to help her and do that, but ultimately it's her burden. And she bears it day by day. And I know that many tears have flowed. And I know she's sometimes been ill with exhaustion, but day after day, overwhelmingly, she peacefully and patiently goes about the task the Lord has given her. And the other day, her mother-in-law said to me, have you seen the song she's linked for us on Facebook? Now, not being one who is on there much, I do have a look at my wife's, and I worked out how to get to it. And I found the song, and the song she'd linked to was called I Have Been Blessed. Just a song, but in what it said of the gracious love and rest of Christ poured into that young woman's heart, it amazed me. It consists of simply over and over thanking the Lord for a myriad of different blessings, ordinary blessings, extraordinary blessings. And I looked and marvelled because in the midst of what most of us would regard as labouring and being heavy laden, she just wanted people to dwell on the blessings of God, of which she knew and proclaimed she was a beneficiary. And this is what the Lord Jesus does for ordinary people on who he set his love in the hardest of circumstances every day over all the world. Come to me, the Saviour said, I will give you rest. And that's true for the believer. It's our heritage, our inheritance in God, in Christ. And we don't have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He knows what it's like to be human. He knows what it's like to be hurt. He knows what it's like to suffer and to feel pain and to be rejected. He knows. He knows. And he understands. And he gives rest, real inner rest. Accepting the will of God can be hard. You and I may often want him to do things away which he's not chosen to happen. But the reality of his love for his people is unchanging. Loved before they ever loved themselves, chosen before the world began, drawn with tender cords of love and of mercy. And the Lord Jesus gives us a lead, doesn't he? Your will be done. That's how he prayed. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. There is true inner rest for God's people. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Not I might, as we said. Not I'll think about it. Not perhaps I won't. None of those. I will. You who labour and are heavy laden amongst his people, he says, I will give you rest. Casting all your care upon him, he cares for you. I ask, I do not know the state of all who are listening. Many, many of you are believers and praise the Lord. But if you don't know the Lord and you've been listening to this, this is reality for believers. We can tell you, we see it in the lives of other believers and of our own lives day by day. Their rest is eternal. And I'll be perfected gloriously when they go to be with God. The things of this world, they don't give lasting rest and peace. And the Lord Jesus, who died to bring that peace to his people, he says, come unto me. One very last thought. He says, learn of me. How can you have an attitude of resting in the Lord? He said, learn of me. He's the great example of how believers get this rest, an example of being humble and meek and obedient, but very strong and true. Living to the glory of the Father was his chief desire here on earth, showing the mercy of God to the poor and afflicted and lost, but his life work day by day. And prayer, he was in it so much. So coming to him, following him is the way to rest for your souls, all you who labour and are heavy laden. And may the Lord grant that rest to every precious soul gathered here this day. Amen.